An execution initially scheduled for next week here in Texas was put on hold Wednesday. Ivan Cantu has been on death row for more than 20 years. He was convicted for the 2000 murder of his cousin and his cousin's fiancée in the Dallas area. A podcast series about the murders has raised questions about Cantu's guilt and the fairness of his trial. Now a district court in Collin County has ordered his execution date withdrawn while it considers a motion from his attorney. Houston Matters' Michael Haggerty outlined some of the concerns in the case and explains some of the barriers that can prevent new evidence from being heard before some prisoners are put to death.
In November of 2000, James Mosqueda and his fiancée, Amy Kitchen, were found shot to death in their home in a North Dallas suburb. Police soon focused on a suspect, Mosqueda's own first cousin, Ivan Cantu. Cantu was convicted of capital murder, but for more than two decades since, he's maintained his innocence. Here he is when I spoke with him on death row last July.
I know that at first glance, people, they think the worst. And if they will just look at the facts, look at the case that not only that was presented, you know, to the jury and to what was withheld from my defense, they'll clearly see that I'm an innocent man and I do not belong here.
During his trial, prosecutors for the Collin County District Attorney's Office presented their star witness, Cantu's fiancée at the time, a woman named Amy Betcher. She testified Cantu committed the murders and even took her to the crime scene afterward. The jury also heard from her brother, Jeff Betcher, who further linked Cantu to the crime. With those witnesses and other evidence, Cantu was convicted and sentenced to death. But then, nearly 20 years later, podcaster and private investigator Matt Duff came across Cantu's case. When he took a closer look, he thought there were some lingering questions, including whether Cantu was truly guilty. He began his own investigation, searching for proof of guilt or innocence in what became a lengthy podcast series called Cousins by Blood.
Did Ivan really kill his cousin and his cousin's fiance? Or will an innocent man be put to death? And if Ivan didn't do it, who did? This is Cousins by Blood.
Duff re-interviewed witnesses, chased down new leads, talked with people Cantu's attorneys never did, and enlisted the help of experts in forensics. And while he didn't find a new smoking gun to prove that Cantu committed the crimes, he did uncover some things, and other things have come to light since, that some people say raise concerns about whether Cantu received a fair trial and adequate legal representation, rights outlined in the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Abraham Bonowitz is one of those people. He's the executive director and co-founder of the group Death Penalty Action. It's been organizing demonstrations on Cantu's behalf since the case landed on its radar.
In the last month or so, we've been able to really sink our teeth into this, come to understand it much more, and recognize that this is a very real concern about Ivan's innocence.
Regardless of his guilt or innocence, will any of this new evidence ever be heard? And did Cantu receive a fair trial? Those are complicated questions, questions that illustrate just some of the barriers that often keep those facing execution from having some of their legal concerns heard. To explain, we need to go back to Cantu's trial and some of the appeals that came after it, and then explain some of the new developments over the last two decades. First, the trial. After the state presented all of its witnesses and evidence, Cantu's pair of court-appointed defense attorneys declined to present any witnesses or evidence of their own. They simply said, the defense rests. To an outside observer like Abe Bonowitz, that sounds egregious.
This is the United States. You're supposed to be able to call witnesses in your defense. And for whatever reason, which nobody seems to be able to answer for me, the defense never called a single witness. And why would you do that?
But there are some reasons a defense team might choose that as a strategy, according to Kenneth Williams. He's a professor at South Texas College of Law, Houston. He spent some 25 years working on criminal appeals, predominantly for inmates on death row.
Attorney might decide, okay, well, I can't, there's no way I'm going to get an acquittal in this case. And if I argue he didn't do it, where there's all this evidence against him, then I'm going to lose credibility for the punishment phase when I'm arguing to save his life.
Another issue Williams said could be problematic, Cantu's attorneys never interviewed any of the people on the state's witness list prior to his trial. And Bonowitz and others cite the fact that in closing arguments, one of his attorneys conceded his guilt. According to court filings that cite transcripts from Cantu's trial, the attorney said, quote, I didn't say he was innocent. I said he's not guilty of capital murder, end quote. Again, an outside observer might see that as egregious for a defendant who pleaded not guilty and who took his case all the way to trial. But Williams says, again, it could be a defense strategy.
I would imagine in the Cantu case, the attorney probably would argue there was a strategic decision. We're trying to save his life, so we're going to concede his guilt.
Another concern was a moment in the trial where it came to light that the lead detective on the case had several binders of information from his investigation that he never turned over to the defense, something Cantu's entitled to. So those are some of the issues Cantu and his current attorney have with his trial. Now to some of those more recent developments. First, there's some of the key testimony. Since Cantu's been on death row, it's been proven the star witness lied about several things, like a watch she said Cantu stole from the scene. It was later found in possession of a family member. And then, more recently, her brother recanted his testimony, where he linked the murder weapon to Cantu and described Cantu talking about his plans for the crime. And then there's questions about some of the physical evidence. A former police officer's statements call into question Cantu's connection to a pair of bloody jeans entered into evidence. And DNA testing was unable to establish Cantu as the wearer of those jeans, which happened to be two sizes larger than what he wore at the time. Again, here's a Bonowitz of Death Penalty Action.
You know, so there's all these things that have to lead to the question of, you know, is there real doubt or is there actual innocence? And how can we know without the courts examining the evidence that's been gathered since the conviction?
Those new revelations have led some former jurors in the case to speak out about their concerns regarding his conviction.
I think that that should wake people up, because they always say, you know, he had a jury of his peers. And well, now you have several members of the jury saying, hold on.
So Cantu and his current attorney, Gina Bunn, want to challenge his case on those two fronts. One being those new revelations, and the other one being the performance of his defense attorneys at trial. Here's Bunn in an interview for the Cousins by Blood podcast.
Coming down to, you know, down to it, really no court has ever reviewed the performance of Ivan's trial attorneys at the guilt-innocence phase, at least not on the merits.
So why not? Well, it's because of a legal technicality, something called the procedural default rule. A quick explanation here. After Cantu's trial, he had another court-appointed attorney to file his state appeal. That attorney asked to be removed from his case, citing her age, but the judge refused to allow it. Instead, she focused her appeal on Cantu's mental health in an attempt to spare his life. And here's where this case runs headfirst into that procedural rule. Since the appeal did not address any of his claims that his defense attorneys were ineffective, the rule says if they're not brought up in the state appeal, then they're barred from being reviewed by a federal court. Here's law professor Ken Williams again.
So then the federal courts say, well, you didn't raise those claims. They were procedurally defaulted. So the merits of those claims never actually got considered in Mr. Cantu's case.
So how often does a procedural rule like this one prevent someone behind bars, possibly even facing execution, from having certain elements of their case heard in court?
And I've seen it quite a bit where there is a claim that could be meritorious and the court said, no, we can't, our hands are tied. We're not going to be able to consider this claim on the merits. And that's it, closed book, and, you know, that's the end of it.
Abe Bonowitz finds that incredibly frustrating.
And the courts won't even look at it because all they care about is to be crossed all the T's and dot all the I's and was everything filed on time. And that's un-American to me. But that's how the courts are acting. And I think that people should be concerned about that. If we're going to have executions, we ought to make absolutely sure that the person is guilty.
Death Penalty Action's Abe Bonowitz there in that report from Houston Matters. Michael Haggerty, who is here with us now with more about this case. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Craig.
As I mentioned before the start of your report, the 380th Judicial District Court of Collin County has ordered Cantu's execution date be withdrawn pending further order from the court. That came over last night. Why?
Well, the court, which had initially ordered Cantu's execution date for next Wednesday, issued this order after receiving a petition to withdraw the execution date from Cantu's attorney. The court has concluded additional proceedings are necessary and has, for now, withdrawn that execution date.
What happens next?
So Cantu and his attorney hope that an evidentiary hearing will take place to review some of the evidence and confront witnesses in the case. As Cantu told me back in November, he wants his attorney to expose witnesses he believes lied on the stand. Whether that will happen is still unclear. There's also the possibility, of course, however remote, that Governor Abbott calls for a delay or offers clemency. The Death Penalty Information Center says that since 1976, though, Texas governors have only done that three times. So for now, though, it is in the hands of that district court in Collin County.
You have laid out the concerns raised by defense attorneys. What have prosecutors and the victim's family said about this case and Cantu's, for the moment, stalled execution?
Well, I spoke with a representative of the Collin County District Attorney's Office, which prosecuted him back in 2001. They declined to be interviewed on the record for the story, citing the ongoing nature of the legal case. I also exchanged several emails with a close family member of one of the victims, James Mosqueda. They asked me not to identify them, but said, quote, "There is no winner in this. The needless loss of lives that led to this left three families forever saddened. I do believe justice will be served and true healing will take a lifetime."
Houston Matters, Michael Haggerty, thank you very much.
You're welcome.